In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to you and everybody up and down the Central Valley and wherever you may be listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. It's been a while. It's been a couple weeks. I didn't know I'd miss having a show as much as I did for these last 2 weeks. Took a nice break. I'm a teacher, as many of you know, and so I had the standard 3 weeks off for Christmas break and for New Year's. And I was out of town for the first weekend and then took last week off. I miss talking to you guys about high school sports. I miss interacting with coaches and our annual student athletes of the week or players of the week that we have here on the show live here at First String Sports. And, I had a good break. You know, I saw on Twitter there's a guy that does the impressions of Nick Saban, and he does an incredible job on Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. And he made this really funny mocking video about what it's like at the water cooler when you return from work. It's like, yeah, how was your vacation? Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah, it was good. You know, good to be with the fam. Good to recharge the old batteries, right? So that's what I think most teachers are going to come back on Monday and talk about. Yeah, recharge the batteries, but it's good to get structure back. Good to get structure. And so this show is kind of one of those landmarks for me, right? Provides a lot of structure in my life. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these basketball teams up and down the Central Valley were at tournaments, somewhere in Las Vegas, heck, somewhere in Utah, Oregon as well. So normalcy will return on Monday. Normalcy in the school district. League play is going to start for basketball next week as well, and we are super, super excited about it. Yeah, and, you know, my Christmas break was really good. Got to see my daughter and a new husband. They were here for 10 days, so that was a lot of fun. But we had our Christmas on Thursday on my side of the family. Really, really small family. My brother was in town and my daughters. And my mom is in the process of moving. It is a big, big deal. And so up top in the garage, there was Paul's mementos and Andy's mementos. That's my brother and me. And my mom had saved everything. And when I mean everything growing up. There was artwork from preschool. There were report cards in there, good and bad, newspaper clippings and all that fun stuff that, you know, that a mom likes to keep. And I found something very interesting I think you guys might find kind of ironic and funny. I wrote an autobiography my freshman year in high school. And here's a little bit about me. I think it was for an English teacher who wanted to get to know his students. And at the end, he wanted us to write about what we wanted to do professionally. And in it, I put, well, my first was to become a professional baseball player. And in quotes, I put, it's looking pretty bleak right now. I think I knew the skill level I was at that moment. Professional trumpet player, that didn't happen either. Or a sports announcer or sports writer. That was literally in there. And I don't remember writing that at all. And reading that, I was like, oh my gosh. At age 55, I finally realized one of those professional goals. So I thought that was really, really funny that I want to be a professional sports dude. And so to speak, I guess I came into it. But we love talking about high school sports here on 1430 ESPN. Actually tonight we have a little Clovis East and Sanger boys basketball theme going on because Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be broadcasting the game at Sanger today, the Central Valley Showdown. There's seven total games happening. I think the first game was at 10 o'clock, so just tipped off a few minutes ago. Sanger and Clovis East are going to be broadcasting that game. We've got a couple players coming on the show live here at First String Sports from Clovis East. McKay Olson and Jeremy Piero, they are seniors. Clovis East Timberwolves are currently 11-5 in the season. And they're one of those schools, Coach Adrian Wiggins. He likes to go to the coast. He likes to go to Las Vegas, which a lot of teams do in the Tarkanian Classic, and play in those types of games. They don't do the Nike, Clovis West Nike Invitational here that a lot of our local teams play. And they like to get out there, and then once the league hits, they feel like they're prepared. So excited to talk to McKay Olson, Jeremy Piero about their season so far. After the break, talking with Gabe. So I think McKay Olson and Jeremy Piero coming in around 10:35 or so. We've been talking with Gabe after the break about that Sanger and Clovis East game and all the great stuff that happened over Christmas break. At the top of our number two, got John Hines. He is the head coach at Clovis High. The Cougars are currently 10-8 on the season, and they're playing in Sanger today. They're taking on Roosevelt at 5 o'clock. At the bottom of our number two, Paul Hernandez. He's a mainstay of the show, comes on once a year, does a great job for 6-1 Hoops. And he ranks the teams. He does a lot of research. He does a really good job ranking teams, putting out player profiles, being at games, highlight videos, breakdowns of player rankings as well. So bottom of hour number two, around 11:35 or so, Paul's going to be jumping on the show. He's actually got Sanger too. So, yeah, lots of stuff is revolving around those games at Sanger on today's show. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN on the show as well. Right now, pretty cold outside, 44 degrees. There's a 70% chance of rain, a high of 51 degrees. Like I said, basketball heavy show. And as we enter phase three now, that's what coaches like to call it. They call the non-league games phase one, tournaments phase two, league play phase three. Phase four is obviously playoffs. As we hit phase three, going basketball heavy. But today I want to, well, in this opener at least, I want to mention a couple football things. We had our football full football wrap-up meeting with SB Live Sports, where I came out with my player of the year, Bryson Donaldson, defensive player of the year, Titus Kajavi, offensive player of the year, McKay Madsen for Clovis North. And as we turn the page, as we put football in the rearview mirror, I wanted to mention some of our local Valley studs. It was on display on Monday night between the Texas game and Washington. Hopefully you guys were beaming with pride, man, when you guys were watching that game with Xavier Worthy from Central High as Texas's main receiver. Well, it was supposed to be. He only had two catches for 45 yards. Why did they throw him the ball in that final drive, huh? He had four downs. Didn't throw him, look his way once. I know he's not the biggest guy, but at least give him a chance, man. Athletically, he could do it all on the field. He's one of the best athletes on the field. Throw something short to him. Let him work his magic. Get in. Anyway, Xavier Worthy, Jalen McMillan. McMillan had that great game from San Joaquin Memorial. Five catches for 58 yards. Had that one incredible touchdown catch where Penix Jr. just rifled that ball in between two defenders. Jalen caught it, kind of flexed in the camera. That was really cool. So Washington advanced with that phenomenal game. We'll be playing Monday, taking on Michigan. And, Kyle Biggs was there as well, watching his boy Xavier Worthy. So that was really neat for him to travel to New Orleans to watch that game. So congratulations to Jalen and, of course, Coach Kalen DeBoer, Coach Inge, Coach Grubb, and all those guys that used to coach at Fresno State. That is awesome. We're very, very proud of all of those guys making it to the national championship game in just his second year, talking about Coach DeBoer. What an incredible run that he's had this season. Xavier Worthy also announced on Twitter that he's taking his talents to the NFL. So he's declaring for the draft. He's going to be working hard on that. In his career, he had 2,755 yards, 26 total TDs, again, in 3 years, 197 catches. I looked it up and where his projection is in the NFL draft. And according to CBS, he's ranked as the 40th top prospect in the whole draft. So we're talking third round maybe, right? Second, third, fourth round for Xavier Worthy. He can return punts. Seen some of his speed on display and some of these, bursting plays that he's made throughout the season for Texas. So, yeah, Worthy, he's NFL bound. Another guy, too, that declared for the NFL draft. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining, and that's Kendall Milton. Buchanan High grad. You know what he did at University of Georgia, those two national championships. Now, watching those two games, do you think Georgia deserved to be in that 14 playoff? Yeah, I think so. But anyway, what an incredible career that Kendall Milton had. Capped it off with that MVP at the Orange Bowl, that 63-3 drubbing of Florida State, where he had nine carries for 104 yards. And, I think the testimony that Kendall Milton had in the effect that he had on his teammates, of playing in that game. First of all, we know about Florida State, right? All those guys sat out. It was an embarrassment, let's be honest. They brought their JV team to that game. But Kendall, he didn't care. He was one of the first of the Georgia players to commit to that, to the Orange Bowl, right? This is what he said after the SEC championship game. I've been going through hell and back with these boys, so there's no way I won't take every opportunity that I can to be able to play with them. That's a quote from him. After that, word spread, hey, Kendall's going to play. Kendall's going to play. Kendall gave a lot to this program. We're going to play for Kendall. So that's the reason why Georgia whooped up on Florida State. Kendall Milton wanted to play. He wanted a lasting impression. He didn't want to go out with that loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game. He was all in. And it showed. He got the MVP. That was a really cool MVP trophy. I don't know if you guys saw it online. But Kendall declared for the NFL draft. I read that, you know, he made a lot of improvements. And I'm sure he impressed a lot of scouts on that day as well. Made a lot of improvements through this year. Pass blocking, you know, run blocking a little bit, hitting the hole, getting out in space. Did a really good job. So hoping Kendall gets drafted this year. I read that he might be a fourth or fifth round draft pick. So hats off to him. Incredible career for those guys. I also want to mention the Nate Johnson. He's transferred from Utah to Vanderbilt. He was a star quarterback at Clovis High. This year he went for Utah, went 40 for 73 passing for 515 yards and four TDs. Zero interceptions and, you know, speed. That's part of his game. He rushed for 286 yards and six TDs. And remember, if he takes a sack, that goes against his rushing yards. So he had a lot more of those positive rushing yards than 286. So he's transitioned to Vandy, and he's expected to be the starter. So, yeah, good luck to Nate Johnson on that. And like I said, believe it or not, we've now hit phase three of the basketball season. We're going to be talking about basketball rankings, mainly for boys today. I wanted to mention quick my girls' rankings that I do for SB Live before we hit the break and talk to Gabe Camarillo. So a top girls' basketball rankings, no surprise there, Clovis West, they're 15-2. They won a tournament in Oregon. They just keep rolling with Athena Tomlinson, Uriah Smith as their guards, Riley Walls, Keegan Medeiros are great players for them as well. St. Joseph's, a lot of talk about Clovis West and St. Joseph's, boys, both on the boys' and girls' sides. The girls team's got a really good team as well. They're 12-4. They actually have one of the best players in California, Avery Kane. She averages 25 points a game, almost 7 rebounds, 4 steals a game. So she's one of the top players, not only in the Central section, but in the state. I got Clovis High at number 3. I got Menachi at 4. Again, this was done a couple days ago, but Tehachapi beat Menachi girls at home. Talking about Tehachapi, so they would probably be flip-flop. So Menachi at 4, Buchanan girls at 5. They open with Clovis on Tuesday, talking about Buchanan girls. I got Carruthers at 6, Bakersfield Christian at 7. Central, defending state champs at 8, Clovis East at 9. And I got Bullard. How about them Knights? Yeah, boys program's doing really, really well. Going to be talking about them in just a second. And the girls team ranked 10th with a record of 11-5. All right, thank you guys for listening. Really enjoyed this moment talking with you guys and catching you guys up in the news and notes going around the sectional section with a lot of our student athletes. Come back after the break. We'll talk with Gabe Camarillo a little bit about Fresno State basketball and, of course, high school basketball when we return on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, Central Valley Sports Report. Here at First String Sports, this is where I do my show every Saturday. I do it in the Letterman's Jacket room that's just off to the right-hand side. Looking at Letterman's Jackets from Madera, Clovis West. There's Sanger West. Hey, there's the original Sanger. Got the red and the blue. Fresno Christian, Sunnyside, Clovis North, Edison, Hoover. It's the only place where you can get your Letterman's Jacket. See people here every Saturday coming in, designing it, putting on Bible verses, whatever patches you got. They will definitely help you out and hook you up. First String Sports has been my sponsor from day one. Love these guys. Love talking about fantasy football. Fantasy football's over, man. Fantasy football, I don't know. I might retire from that. It's just too much at times, right? And when you got the best team in the league and you're losing the first round of playoffs, yep, that happened to me. It just puts a whole big damper on the fantasy football experience. All right, just, Mikhail Olson and Jeremy Piero just came in here to First String Sports. We're going to be talking with them in just a few minutes. We'll talk with Gabe Camarillo, as we do every week. You guys know him from Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. I actually missed listening to Gabe's show because I wasn't on the road driving to and from school. So, Gabe, we were able to catch up a little bit during this Christmas break. But overall, what do you give your Christmas grade? What do you give it, an A-, B-plus, A-plus? What do you give your Christmas break?
I would give it, honestly, a solid A-. Only reason why it wasn't an A-plus was because, honestly, man, the Raiders, the way they played during my Christmas break, I got to say that really dampened my mood for the holidays.
Oh, right. And Giants fans, on the other hand, are rejoicing.
Right.
I mean, I would say this. You got your guy. You got one of your guys. You got a pitcher back, a former Cy Young Award winner.
The Giants, yeah, on the diamond, great. Good move by Robbie Ray by the G-Man. Hopefully it's enough to take down your super team Dodgers. I don't know how that's allowed, by the way. I'll get, you know, $680 million deferred at the end of a contract.
Just defer it all, yeah.
I would highly question if he's going to even see that money at the end of the 10 years. Because, I mean, what do the Dodgers do in that situation? I know this is a high school show, but what do the Dodgers do to get $680 million in 10 years? Do they just start charging extra $5 for Dodger dogs? Do they charge an extra $10 for parking? Like, that's not good for the fans. But it's going to be
$20 a Dodger dog, I'm sure.
But the Raiders, I mean, they won on Christmas. Then after that, they started, you know, losing like they have most of the year. I want to see a Jim Harbaugh head coach there. That's just my personal preference.
You think that's a possibility?
I think it really is. I mean, Mark Davis has the deepest pockets of any NFL owner that's looking for a coach. And I think Harbaugh's going to demand a big contract after what Michigan's doing here.
Yeah, a lot of people are waiting to see what Harbaugh's going to be doing. The press conference was today. I was listening on ESPN Radio driving over here to First String Sports. And yeah, Harbaugh, he didn't commit to Michigan for next year, and that's, you know, he's a pretty cryptic guy. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, I think we're going to see Harbaugh in the NFL next year. So, Gabe, you know, you've spent some time with Fresno State men's basketball as well. You've watched a few games. They're playing today at 4 o'clock against Nevada. You know, they got blown out by San Diego State, and that was a tough game to watch, let's be honest. The game ended up being 74-47. There's that palindrome score that I'm always looking for as a numbers guy. But what to do about Fresno State men's basketball, Gabe?
Well, the reason why I thought it was so significant that they lost by 27 to San Diego State, three reasons. First, that's your arch rival, so if you lose by that much to San Diego State in basketball, it's like losing by 30 to Boise State in football. It just makes you open your eyes and wonder what can be changed. The second reason why it was so big for me was I don't know what can be changed. Like, it was so emblematic of the problems that this year's team has had, just struggling to find a way to score the basketball when you don't have Isaiah Hill at full strength, when you don't have Eduardo Andre at full strength. Like, in the Mountain West, you need to have 3, 4, 5 scoring options at all times, and they don't have that. So that was the second reason. The third reason, kind of looking back at last year, they lost to that team by 2 points. Yeah. This year, it's a 25-point difference, and I posed the question on Twitter. I got a few replies. Some people thought it was the free throw shooting. Others thought that it was the coaching. But why was there such a difference between two seasons when last year's game, honestly, was pretty impressive? You lose by two to the eventual national runner-up, and people are still saying, you know, San Diego State is good. They're the national runner-up. But last year, Fresno State was competitive in that game.
Correct.
What made such a big difference between results?
Yeah, I think there's a big talent discrepancy. And last year we kept waiting for that team to play its best game of the season. It never really happened. Last year's team, I think, had a lot better promise than this year's team. So, Gabe, we've had this conversation in the past about the CMAC transitioning to boys basketball here in the Central Section between the CMAC and the track. You are of the opinion right now that the CMAC, from top to bottom, is more competitive than the track, correct? Can make an argument for that case.
Yeah, so I say from top to bottom. Now, I know the track has the best two teams in Fresno/Clovis. That's Clovis West and Clovis North. It's kind of been proven on the court, too. You know, Clovis West beat San Joaquin Memorial by double digits. So did Clovis North beat Bullard. But I am curious to see if Bullard would be able to beat a Clovis North, or at least be more competitive with the addition of last year's track leading scorer, Dalen Felder. You see, when you put the best scorer in the track on Bullard to go along with Javance Coleman Jr. and the nice size they have with Keyshawn Johnson as well as Jaleel Jackson, I mean, I have right here the top four scores. Jahlil Jackson lost four games, 16 points a game. Javance Coleman, 13 points. Dalen Felder, 16 points. Keyshawn Johnson, four rebounds, two blocks to go with 11 points. You got a big four there for Bullard. I think the second place team in the CMAC could be Bullard, knowing Memorial's obviously well coached and they still have some talent from last year. Is a second place team for the CMAC better than the second place team for the track? I would like to see them play in the playoffs, run it back. I think it's not going to be the 80-64 game that we saw earlier this year. I think it'll be much closer. When you go further down in the track in CMAC, third place teams. I think Clovis East is probably the third best team in the track. I think Sanger's probably the third best team in the CMAC. Right now, I mean, Edison's obviously going to make a push for that next week when they face, I think Edison faces Memorial right away. Then they got Madera, and then they have after that Sanger and Bullard. So, you know, they'll have to wait another week to face Sanger. But Sanger beat Buchanan convincingly. They beat Clovis in a big comeback. I think if Sanger beats Clovis East tonight, Paul, it's not even a question. The CMAC is better than the track. But looking just at the overall records, I think it's 7 wins for the CMAC over the track to 4 wins for the track over the CMAC.
Well, we'll find out tonight. You and I are going to be broadcasting that game at 8 o'clock. We'll go on around 7:45-ish. And, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to that game. I think that game tonight, Gabe, is going to be in the 50s, right? Just knowing the personnel of both teams, just watching Sanger from afar and what they did, you know, against Clovis in the championship of the Clovis Elks tournament. I see a game like a 58-55 type game, don't you?
I do, but let's. I want to have a conversation about Clovis North versus Bullard. I know North has the prestige, like they have Connor Amundsen, they have McKay Amundsen, they have Lucas Jones, they have a lot of returners from last year's team. But when you add Dalen Felder, who's averaging 16 points a game, and you lost by 14 to Clovis North a month prior without Dalen Felder, don't you think adding Felder closes the gap between Bullard and North, or am I putting too much stock into one player being added to an equation?
Yeah, I think so. And how about doing those comparisons against San Joaquin Memorial, right?
When, oh, yeah.
You know, Bullard, you know, hasn't been able to compete maybe for a quarter or two against San Joaquin Memorial the last couple of years. But, man, now with that team at full strength, talking about Bullard, that's must-see basketball between San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard. And what about Buchanan? You know, Coach Tom Orich is, you know, he's a legend around here, what he did at Clovis West and then going to coach at Stanford, being assistant, now returning to take over Buchanan. How about those Bears? I know they don't have a signature win. Their strength of schedule is really, really low, 6.4 compared to, let's say, 13.9 for Clovis East. Clovis North actually has the strongest strength of schedule, mm-hmm. according to Max Preps, at 20.0, Clovis West 19.4, and St. Joe's at 18.8. But, you know, Buchanan, they're no slouch. They're no gimme win anymore either.
They aren't, but I'm curious, right? They lost to Sanger. I mean, Sanger's beating everyone right now. They won the Clovis Elks. They beat Buchanan. They beat Clovis. So maybe that loss to Sanger isn't a red flag. And they did dominate Reno in the third-place game at the Clovis Elks, 55-33. What really is getting me bought into Buchanan is the fact that they lost on a buzzer beater to Memorial at an out-of-town tournament this year. So yeah. 14-3 is their record right now. Really good for the Buchanan Bears. Probably one of their best non-conference records in a very long time. Only losses to Memorial on a buzzer beater. And we know Memorial is probably the CMAC favorite. To Sanger by 8, and that's a game, like I said, Sanger won convincingly. And Clayton Valley Charter by 11 on the road. That's it. I mean, they go into the road game to open up track play at Clovis, and then they host Central. I could see them, honestly, being 16-3, 2-0 in the track ahead of, well, a reunion between Tom Orlich and Clovis West.
That's right, exactly. And so, really quick, Gabe, according to Max Preps, St. Joseph is number one, Clovis West is 2, North 3, Clovis East, we're going to be hearing from McKay Olson, Jeremy Piero after the break at number 4, Buchanan's at 5, Memorial at 6, Bullard at 7, Centennial, Bakersfield's got a really good team. I think, you know, when I talk to Paul Hernandez about rankings, we got Centennial about 4 or 5, mm-hmm. Aurora Grande, Division 2 defending champs, and the Bakersfield Christian, they're always dangerous. And then you got Central, Dinuba, Sanger, Liberty, and Frontier, so good stuff tonight, Gabe. You're going to be at the Fresno State game at 4, and then we're going to be broadcasting the game at 8 o'clock sharp.
Yes, and I do want to give some pub to this big high school boys basketball tournament today. I'm looking at the matchups this afternoon at the Central Valley Showdown at Sanger High. Tulare Western Selma at 2. That's a really good D3 base matchup. Edison versus Sierra at 3:30. Logan Kilbert versus the Athletic Tigers. That's a great ticket. Yeah. Roosevelt versus Lemoore. Clovis North versus Monterey at 6:30 after that one. And then the one that we're doing on the radio, 7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock tip between the Sanger Apaches and the Clovis East Timberwolves. Sanger, really defensive. Clovis East, really athletic. I think both these teams are probably third best in their conference right now going into conference play. So should be a really close and competitive game.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that game and do that game with you, Gabe. We're going to be talking with McKay Olson and Jeremy Piero after the break on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Central Valley Sports Report returning after a couple weeks off. Live here at First String Sports. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. You can follow me on X, on Twitter, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Try to tweet as best I can about all the good stuff that's going on in the Central section. Just had a good conversation with Gay. We like to go back and forth about rankings. It's a good, healthy discussion, right? CMAC versus the track, and we got a good one tonight. We're really excited about broadcasting Clovis East against Sanger, and it's the headline game, right? It's the Central Valley Showdown at Sanger, and so, yeah, you're going to, if it's your own showdown, you're going to have yourself as a headliner game to be taken on Clovis East. We got a couple Clovis East boys basketball players, McKay Olson, Jeremy Piero, both seniors. The team is currently 11-5. Thank you guys for coming.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. So, Christmas break. But Clovis Unified, you guys got out, I think, like a week later than, well, at least me, yeah, as a teacher. So you guys have one more week after this, or you can get the 2 weeks? You got to go back on Monday, right?
Yeah, Tuesday. We only have 2 weeks.
Do you like the 2 weeks, or would you rather have three?
I'm fine with the two because it means we have a longer summer. So.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. And you guys are both seniors, so you got a lot to look forward to. So how was Christmas break for you guys? Was it basically basketball, 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 a little family, and then more basketball?
Pretty much, yeah.
Jeremy, how was Christmas break for you, though?
It was solid. Took about a day and a half, 2 days off, and then right back to basketball. So it was good.
All right. Did you you got a big family, a lot of family in town, or a small get-together with your family?
Yeah, a little some of that. And then I went down to see my mom and her family down to L.A., so I was good.
Did you get anything good?
I did.
What'd you get? Some new shoes?
I did get some new shoes.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I got some new KDs.
All right.
Rocking them tonight.
All right, you're going to wear them tonight.
I will.
The world premiere of the new KDs on the court at Sanger tonight. All right, McKay, how about for you? How was Christmas break?
It was great. I took Christmas Eve and Christmas off, and then right after that we were back to practice. I do have a pretty big family, but most of them are in town, so spent a lot of time with them, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
You guys have any quirky traditions? You guys play any board games or do anything, you know, have a little family basketball game in the driveway or anything?
We have taco soup every Christmas Eve, and then we do karaoke with the family.
Ooh. Who's got the singing skills in your family?
Oh, me and my grandpa. Me and my papa won. Yeah.
He's definitely lying.
Well, what song did you guys bust out?
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Mariah Carey, classic.
Did you sing that high part that she sings?
Yeah, that's my specialty.
That's your specialty? Yeah. That put you guys over the top. How about for you, Jeremy? You got any traditions you guys do?
Nothing crazy like that.
Have you heard McKay sing before?
Oh, I have. He's definitely lying. I don't know how he
He's definitely lying. Yeah. All right. Slip somebody a $20 bill to get that win. Hey, so your KDs, man, that's a cool present that you got. McKay, was there anything like you really wanted when you were a kid and maybe you did get it or maybe you didn't get it? Like, was there a present maybe when you're like 8, 10 years old that you got?
So I was a huge Lightning McQueen fan growing up. So when I was like 8 years old, I wanted a Lightning McQueen bike. And then before Christmas, I was in the bathroom and I like looked behind the shower curtains and there was a Lightning McQueen bike in there. I stayed quiet about it, but I was happy to get that. You know?
You knew you were getting the bike.
Yeah, I knew.
Well, your parents, they didn't do a good job of hiding it.
They're not. That's all right.
But you asked surprised when they rolled out the bike.
Yeah, surprised. I already knew how to ride it. So.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into some basketball talk. You guys traveled to Las Vegas, right? Played in the Tarkanian tournament. You guys won the consolation, right? Which is cool. Yeah. You guys lost in that first round, though, to the eventual champions by 6, I believe.
Yeah.
In that one. Any of those games stand out to you, or you know, was there like a little turning point in that tournament? Like, man, we lost that first game by 6. Might as well go out and win all things. I mean, was there a certain game that stood out to you, McKay? Start with you.
Definitely. After that first game, I think the whole team kind of had the mentality of, like, we're here to win. Like, we're not going to do that again. So we came out serious and locked in the next three games because we didn't want to go 2-2 in Vegas, you know.
And those games are one after each other, right? Four straight days?
Yeah,
four straight days. Yeah. Jeremy, is there a certain game that stands out to you?
Yeah, I definitely say the same thing. After that first game, you know, we played poor and only lost by six. I think Vista's like 15-1 right now, so they're a solid team, and to only lose by six, how bad we played. It was kind of like a refocusing after that game, so we came back into those three games, took care of business.
Is there – how many – I mean, I've seen the highlights of you guys. You know, your social media does a good job of putting stuff out, seeing the highlights of you guys putting up points and rebounds and individually doing different things to help your team win. What was your personally your best game at that tournament, McKay? Points-wise or rebound or defensively?
There was one game, I think it was against Del Norte. I had 10 rebounds and like six steals or something, and then like five assists. That was a solid game because we – played good that second half and came out on top, and I didn't realize I had that many rebounds, but guess I did. So,
Jeremy, what about you?
It was the third game we played. I don't really remember who it was.
Centennial?
Maybe, yeah. I think it was Centennial. I think I had 21-7, like three or four assists, so it was a pretty solid game.
I'm trying to bring up your schedule here. yeah, to see what game that was. But after the tournament, would you guys come back, like, happy with your performance, or like, man, thinking back, if things went your way in that first game, what you guys could have done, or what was the whole overall experience? What was your takeaways from that whole tournament, Jeremy?
Well, we obviously wanted to win that game, but just being able to bounce back and take care of those next three games obviously shows a different level of maturity on our team. I don't think we would have been able to do that last year. We were a lot younger last year, and I don't think we would have folded that next game because we obviously lost the game before. So it was pretty good coming back. Obviously, we want to win the first game, but you know, we'll take the next three.
So you look at that, McKay, as a positive overall experience, right?
Yeah, I think it reflects our growth that we're able to bounce back now, you know. So I think we handled those last three games well, but we need to come prepared that first game.
Yeah, now that you guys are seniors, you feel like you have to take on more of a leadership responsibility. No more excuses that we're young, right? No. That's thrown out the door.
Yeah.
No excuses. But as a senior now, McKay, do you feel just a more sense of, like, hey, we got more responsibility this year. We got to take care of business more. Is that your mentality?
Definitely. And our coaches, Coach Cole right here, definitely make sure to remind us that we are the example on the team and that we have to make sure everybody's in line and us stay in line. And so our coaches do a good job of that and motivating us and helping us. So.
Jeremy, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. I think that being a senior, it kind of feels like when we lose, it's on me or on us. And having that role this year is definitely a step up from last year, and it's a lot to take care of, but I think it's an important role.
Absolutely. Talking with Jeremy Piero and McKay Olson of Clovis East Boys Basketball. Let's go back a little bit to the summer, right? What type of bonding experiences did you guys have this summer? Did you guys get together as seniors and say, hey, man, this is all we have left, man? I mean, it's our senior year. We want to leave it all on the court this year. Or what kind of experiences did you guys have this summer that led to this season? Okay.
I mean, our team tournaments were always fun, going and staying at hotels. I think we had fun at the embassy especially, you know, and we go out places and eat and just get to be a team. I think we all kind of knew that we were good enough to make a statement this year, and that's what we wanted to do. And so there was kind of a vibe on the team where we know we can be good. We just have to go out and be good and prove it.
Yeah, was that kind of your mentality coming in
through
senior year, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We just, like he said, we just had like a sense of urgency to us. Obviously, the beginning of the summer, we went to the Cali Live tournament. We didn't play great, but we knew that the teams that we were playing were pretty good teams, so that coming into the year, we just had to take our time and, you know, get better.
So I heard straight from Coach Wiggins' mouth last year that you guys do this arm wrestling thing. It's arm wrestling challenge. True story.
Yeah.
All right. Story. Talk to us about that. What's this about here?
So Coach Wiggins actually came and challenged me to arm wrestling, not knowing how strong I was. And I actually beat him in front of the whole team. I'm kidding. That did not happen and never will. He tells us, he's like, you guys aren't men yet, you're still boys. And then he tells us to challenge him to arm wrestling, and So obviously I tried it, and he beat me pretty easily. That was pretty
did he just kind of hold you there at the starting position a little bit, just kind of teased you, and then
yeah,
went down?
He kind of gives you – he goes back a little bit. He's like, that's all you got? That's all you got? And then he'll just like – I don't even know.
I think he's left-handed though, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's when he arm wrestles.
Yeah. With his right hand. He's like, I'm left-handed. I still beat you with my right hand.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. One of those guys. Okay. All right. How about for you, Jeremy? Do you have a arm wrestling experience with
the
coach?
I did. Same thing with Wiggins. He actually brought out a table like this, set it in the center court, and was like, yeah, let's get to it. He's beat me with his right hand.
He's like all comers. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right? how is he, you know, getting to know Adrian over the last few years and watching him coach? Again, we'll be able to watch him tonight at 8 o'clock when you guys take on Sanger. But he's a tough-minded coach, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of tough-minded coaches out here in the Central Section. But what are some takeaways from his coaching that you didn't think maybe you had it in you? Like, man, I don't think I can get this far. But then he pushes you, and takes you to a next level, whether it's physically or mentally. Is there an example that each of you can share about, like, how the coaching staff is taking you to the next level?
Yeah, definitely. I could talk about this one all day. Coach Wiggins has taught me so much. And, like, recently we were heading down to, I think it was Arroyo Grande, and he was talking to us, and he was like, there's more to life than basketball, and there's more to basketball than basketball. You know, how you play is more than just about how good of a player or how skilled you are. And he's just taught us how to be men. He talks about that a lot in practice. He's not just here to make us the best basketball team, but to teach us how to be functional adults and to handle our own business.
That's great. Jeremy, for you, what was Coach Wiggins meant
yeah,
to you?
Last year, obviously, I didn't have the best junior year that I wanted to have. Obviously, Wiggins made it real tough on me, but I think it teaches us life. It teaches us how to battle through adversity, and it just helps us in the long run. Obviously, our coaches have a great support system. It's not just Wiggins. We have Coach Cole, Coach Vinny, Coach Seb, and Coach Gregory. Great guys around us, always helping us and pushing us to be, you know, the best players that we can.
Yeah, and I talked to a lot of players after their high school careers and guys that play in college and maybe even the pros, and a lot of times that stuff doesn't click until later. Those lessons that you learn, you could walk off the court and think, man, I hate my coach right now, or I hate him. But then later in life, you're like, all right, he's just showing me the correct way to
exactly,
do something. Because,
yeah.
Hey, I'm only 17 or 18 years old. These coaches, they got a lot of experience, on and off the court. I'm gonna go different way. I want to talk about your games a little bit about each other, right? So, McKay, you're about – are you 6 feet?
I'm like 6'1", 6'2".
6'2"?
Yeah.
All right, we'll call you 6'2". Okay. And Jeremy, where are we listening to you at?
6'5".
6'5". All right. So just to get an idea of their height and their strengths, I'm going to have you guys describe each other's game. All right. Okay. So we'll start with you, Jeremy. I want you to describe McKay's game. What does he bring to the court? When you guys are playing together, what's working with you guys? Describe McKay's game to everybody.
Yeah, me and McKay have played together for four or five years, so I'm familiar with his game. He brings us a lot of energy on the court. Real charge guy, gets us rebounds, gets us good buckets. Great guy to play with.
How about his 3-point shooting?
It's great.
He can drain him.
Yeah.
He can drain him.
Yeah.
McKay, how would you describe Jeremy's game?
Playing with Jeremy is fun. You know, 1v1ing him is not always fun.
He's got those long arms, huh?
He's got long arms. Like, I cannot block his shot, and then when I get down there in the paint, try to go up, and he's just everywhere, man. But playing with him is fun. You know, he gets a fast break. He'll dunk it. On defense, he's there always. he rebounds the ball, and he just does a great job of it.
All right. I'm gonna put you guys more on the spot here. All right. Who's a better shooter, McKay or Jeremy?
Me. He
True?
Thinks him. We both think us.
Yeah. I'm going to go with me.
Not
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, McKay. You got a smooth stroke. I've seen it. All right, who could jump higher?
Him. I'll give that one to him. Yeah, he's got a bunch of different dunks that he could do, and so he could definitely jump higher.
What's been? How many dunks have you had this year, Jeremy?
In the season?
Yeah,
I think 6 or 7.
What's been your best one? Describe it.
Probably the one where I got a technical. Yeah, I didn't know that you couldn't pull up on the rim, and we were out of Rio Grande, and it was back-to-back dunk, so I was a little excited and pulled up. Technical foul. Sat the rest of the game. I mean, yeah.
All right. You couldn't make the excuse that, you know, some guy was underneath your legs,
no,
and
no
you had no excuse.
No
all
excuse.
Right.
But we were up a lot. So.
All right. Up a lot. Who plays tougher defense?
You,
I'll probably say.
Yeah.
He's mostly guarding the fives most of the time, like the big guys. So obviously that takes a little bit. It's a little bit different defense. I'm guarding normally the guards, the point guards up top.
Who's taking the most charges though?
Him, definitely.
Yeah.
I take pride in taking charges. It's a fun thing to do. It gets the bench going. Gets everyone going. Yeah. So I think I like to think I try hard on defense.
Are they most on helps ID or is it guarding somebody straight up?
Mostly helps ID. So, yeah.
You can time it pretty good.
Yeah,
you got it in the corner of your eye. You can see, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy's coming over. He's a little out of control. Who gets yelled at most in practice?
Me.
Yeah, probably him.
Yeah. Jeremy? You get yelled at the
yeah,
most?
Yeah, definitely him.
Why, Jeremy?
I don't know.
You're not in the right spot at the right time every time? Is that a simple way to put it? That's probably it. Okay. Who has the worst taste of music between the two?
This guy right here.
You can't stand his music?
Can't stand
I'm a big country fan. So I like country. He doesn't like country. Whenever we're in my car, we listen to country, but he doesn't like it. So
on
I guess why I'd say that.
What is the rule on road trips when you guys are traveling in a van or however you guys are getting there? Is it who's in charge of the radio? Are you guys – oh, you guys probably got AirPods and stuff, right?
Yeah, sometimes we have aux. That's my guy, Ash Tucci. He takes care of the music.
So you're more in – you more vibe with his playlist
yeah,
than McKay's.
Definitely.
Yeah, it depends on who's driving the van. Several get down with country. Cole gets down with whatever they put on. So, yeah.
Mike Sherm.
How about before games? Are you guys listening to hype music as a team, or you guys got your AirPods in? Yeah. What's that look like? Individually, right?
Yeah. Honestly, we kind of tend to stray away from music. We kind of just tend to focus on the game. Kind of avoid all outside distractions, but
that is a good senior answer, man. you've matured a lot here, Jeremy. All right, talk about some of the other dudes on your team, right? We talked about you guys a lot, Coach Wiggins and the coaching staff. Who are some other dudes on your team that you want to give shout outs to?
Asher Thompson, he's been really good for us. Yeah, freshman guy.
Yeah.
We put a lot on him, but he's gonna be good in 3 years. He's good right now, but he's a hooper. Liddell Farmer's been good for us. Brody Raw, actually, just stepping up. DJ transfer from Roosevelt. He's been real good for us too. So
Booker, right?
Yeah, Booker.
Play football.
Yeah,
yeah. Aiden Beachler has been shooting it from three.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets us free assists when he's standing out there on the wing. We got Trinnell, just a dog on defense. He'll get the offense running too. We got a solid squad. We got Noah Demon out there too. He's takes charges, hits threes. We just got. Everyone on our team is willing to try and give their all out there. So, yeah.
So tonight against Sanger, we know how tough they are, right? They got some dudes. They won the Clovis Elks tournament. They got some good wins on the season. Mm-hmm. What's kind of the game plan? What are you guys going to have to do really well tonight to beat Sanger?
I think it just comes down to execution. Obviously, we got to try offensively, execute our schemes. Defensively, got to rotate, take charges, get boards, obviously. And I think we do that, it'll be a good game.
Okay.
I think we got to make sure – we don't give up any extra shots to shooters Sanger has. We don't want people getting warmed up, taking too many shots. We like to keep defense in people's hands who we want to have the ball, you know.
All right, looking forward to that game. A couple more questions here, guys. You got the height, you're 6'5", Jeremy. I know, Duvall played basketball for a while. He was a really good wide receiver for the football team. McKay, you got just 6'2", about what, 180? Is that
185? Yeah.
All right. No football. Coach Nagel didn't try to get you guys to play football.
Definitely has. Definitely has. Him a lot. Me too, a little bit. But
no, you don't want
to. I used to. Oh,
go ahead.
I used to play football middle school and elementary school days. It's funny. Nolan Wilson from Sanger, he was my quarterback in elementary school. I played running back with him. That was fun, but I thought about playing football, but it's just before season. I've seen a lot of guys get hurt. I thought it would definitely be fun to play, but I chose not to. Just stick with basketball, and then I'll play baseball after season.
That's right. Well, basketball, you guys have done a great job this season. One more question before we wrap it up here. College, like McKay, how about for you? You looking forward to – trying to play a little college ball, or what colleges are you looking at right now?
Yeah, so I plan on serving a mission after this year for 2 years, and then I'll come back. I'll either go to BYU as a student, or I'll play maybe JUCO, D2, D3, maybe, who knows. We'll see how this season ends, but haven't really made up my mind yet, but got a couple options.
That's great. That's awesome. Jeremy?
Playing college basketball has been a goal of mine since I started playing the game, and I think Coach Wiggins and all the coaches have been doing a good job putting my name out there. Obviously, even the Modesto Christian tournament, yeah. A lot of schools have been coming in. It's taking its time, obviously. Sure. Waited till senior year, but definitely looking forward to hopefully playing ball at the next level.
That's great. We're looking forward to tonight's game against Sanger. Can check out your new KDs that you're going to debut tonight. Yes, McKay, hopefully you get some charges on that weak side and hit a couple threes. Looking forward to that. So, guys, thanks for coming in. It was a lot of fun, and good luck the rest of the way.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
You bet. A lot of good stuff here. Love talking to student-athletes up and down the Central section. That's McKay Olson and Jeremy Piero of Clovis East. Again, thank you guys for listening. This is 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Kicking back here at First String Sports, located on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Should say Sierra and Herndon. I say between, I don't know, what should I say? Blackstone and Herndon, that's what I should say every time. First String Sports is definitely the place to be. Letterman's Jacket Room, they got more than that, obviously. Right? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. We're in phase three of the basketball season. But baseball season, they start official practice here coming up this next week as well. And once everything thaws out, and baseball and softball will be upon us here. And First String Sports has all your needs for those sports as well. We got John Hines on the line. He's the Clovis Boys basketball coach. Take on Roosevelt today. And Sanger. Yeah, Sanger's the place to be as well at 5 o'clock. In the Sanger showdown, Central Valley showdown, I should say. They are 10-8. They play second to that same Sanger team in the Clovis Elks tourney, a game that was highly publicized. Man, I wish I was there in that game. So, Johnny, man, how you doing? How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Dad. Paul, nice to hear from you. Happy New Year, pal.
Happy New Year to you as well. Did you have some time? I know your tournament was after Christmas. I think started on the 27th. Do you have some time to take a deep breath and spend some time with some family and some friends and relax a little bit?
We got about a day and a half. So we were able to do that, but we were right back at it on the court. And, we got two big games, or we had a big game coming up tonight against Roosevelt. And we're preparing for Buchanan to open league on Tuesday. So there really wasn't a whole lot of time off, to be honest.
And you guys have played 18 games this season already, man. It's already flown by for me, at least. What's your assessment of your season so far through these 18 games?
I like a lot of the things that we're doing. I think we've found how we would like to play, and the style we'd like to play, and the guys we'd like to play. So I think that early on in the season, this whole part is about feeling out process about. What your strengths are, what your weaknesses might be, and how to alleviate any of those weaknesses and get rid of them and just play as well as you can going into the league. And I think we've started to do that. We've definitely made strides. We've got a lot of room for improvement. But, this whole preseason has been a really good opportunity for our guys and our coaching staff to get us where we need to be, because I think we're going to be, fairly competitive here in league coming up. So.
What are some of those strengths that you're talking about that your team has? What does your team do really well right now that you guys are happy with?
Well, I think you still need to be a little bit more consistent with it, but defensively is where we really, when we're locked in and we key on guys and we have a game plan, our guys are able to stick to it, we really defend at a high level, and we're going to have to do that because, we're going to be playing teams that have high-octane offenses up here for the next 5 weeks. And so... we're really going to have to try and slow down some teams, obviously, like the Clovis West, Clovis North, Clovis East. Buchanan has a lot of really good offensive weapons. And Central, Central is a great defensive team. They may not have as many offensive weapons, but they're a great defensive team. So they're going to make it very challenging as well. So just staying locked in and understanding scouts, that's a big thing once you get to this time of year, understanding what the other team's strengths are and trying to take them away as best we can. But I like the way we defend, and if we defensive rebound, allows us to run and get some easy points. And so for us, that's a big key because we got to find easy ways to score.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that as from your coaching perspective, when, you know, when you decide to press a team, when you decide to put on a token press or play straight man-to-man or switch to a zone on a baseline out of bounds, those types of decisions, what is your philosophy behind those?
Yeah, I mean, it really just comes down to changing it up. You know, you don't want people to be too comfortable. I think that kind of happened to us on Saturday night against Sanger. We did an outstanding job for three quarters in our zone. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, we had some defensive lapses, and we let, you know, guys, you know, Noah Wilson, you know, come off and hit. He hadn't hit it. He made 1-3 in the first quarter, and then, you know, in the fourth quarter, he went 3-for-3 because we had some lapses. And so we were, you know, we just didn't lock in the way we needed to, but it's easy, when you get three quarters to try and prep for something. They did a really nice job of adjusting their schematics and put guys in different places to be successful, and we didn't do a great job of figuring that out. And so we could have adjusted a little bit better. But the whole point behind it is to keep teams on their toes, that's for sure.
Sure, and then you're playing Roosevelt, like you mentioned, today at 5 o'clock. What type of problems does Roosevelt present to you guys? What do you got to do against them?
They present a lot of problems. They're extremely athletic, and they're tough kids, and they're good athletes, and they can get up and down, and they got guys who can score the ball, and they're going to play a little bit of a man and zone. It's a little mixture of different stuff, and so Chiz always does a really good job, and they're going to keep us on our toes, and so they definitely have the pieces to be successful, and they played a lot better. I know their record didn't reflect it too much in the Elks, but they played a really good schedule in our Elks tournament as well. And they were very competitive with some very good teams. So they got a couple kids eligible at the semester, and they're a whole different-looking team. So they definitely have the chance to be very successful going forward.
And then game planning against, let's say, teams that you're playing against in a tournament where it's just three games in a row or four games in a row, and maybe some teams that you're more unfamiliar with, versus, you know, when the track starts, right? You guys know each other so well, right? So what's the difference in the game plans that you guys have to put together, tournaments versus league?
Yeah, those are a lot of fun, though. That's when the assistants jump in, and, you know, they've got a lot of film to watch, and they're scouting and breaking down, and everyone's watching every game. And the nice thing about our, you know, hosting a tournament is you get to see all the games. You know, we're in the gym, we're working, and so we see a lot, and we get a pretty good idea. But, yeah, it's quick turnaround, right, when you have a game and you're not sure who you're going to play between one and two teams, and you got a quick film session, and you talk about their strengths and what we want to take away. You know, and we really didn't have an opportunity for even shoot around during our tournament because games started so early, and we usually played at 7:30, so it's hard to get kids back in the gym in the morning. So those are challenging but fun times. I mean, that's why we do it. And we want to see how successful it'll be. I mean, that's a little bit of pride, right, with coaches. They come in, and one of the coaches got a scout, and they tell you this, and that, and they want it to look good. And it's a lot of fun, but it can definitely be challenging because, for the most part, some of these teams are, you know, a lot of unknowns to you.
Sure. Talking with Coach John Hines of Clovis High, and John Eden and I, we always have a good time at the Clovis West Invitational, where we're sitting and watching basketball and eating food and doing all that good stuff that the tournaments are they're built for. I love tournament time where you get to hobnob with other coaches and talk about, you know, different schemes and players. That's a lot of fun. I that Memorial game that you guys played, I watched that whole game at the Clovis West tournament, where you guys have a lead after three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, it was a one-point game.
We're down one, going into the fourth.
Down one going into the fourth. You know, is it just with high school boys, and you've been coaching for high school basketball for a long time, how big is, like, confidence and believing in what you can do and believing in your teammates and trusting? How important is that at the high school level?
Yeah, I mean, that plays a major part in it. And it's not something that's just developed overnight. You know, a lot of times that stuff's done and developed in the preseason and prior to the preseason with conditioning and, you know, mental toughness and physical toughness, what you're doing in the weight room, you know, trusting your training and all that good stuff is a big, big part of it. And, you know, when you're playing well, you feel good about things. When the ball's not going through the hoop, it's a lot harder to generate energy. And you just got to believe that you're capable of doing it. And it's kind of like I played golf the other day, so I'm going to use the analogy. Like golf, right? And it's frustrating at times, but you hit one or two good shots, feel really good about it, and then it's a struggle for you, and then You got to get back on the horse because you make one or two bad shots. And then how do you recover? You know, and, you know, with that, the same thing, you know, going back to our Sanger game. And, you know, you play well, and then things start to, there's a little adversity that hits you, and it picks up. How do you respond to it? And it really comes back to how you prepared for those situations. And that's why preseason and conditioning, weight room, and all those things are so important, because, you know, that at least tells you you're capable of doing something. You know, and that's a lot of the game. You know, it really is. And it's hard to develop that with youth and young kids. That's what our job as teachers and mentors and coaches are for, really.
Exactly. And I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your team a little bit more. Who are some of your standouts? I know you got a really impressive and tall sophomore looking forward to watch during league play. But talk about some of your guys on the team.
Yeah, I mean, we got a bunch of guys who are solid kids. You know, well, first of all, they're great kids, and that's what we're honestly a bunch of really nice, good kids who do well academically, show up to everything, and they're awesome to be around. Sometimes I'd wish they would be a little bit more assertive and aggressive on the basketball court, but they are fantastic people who come from fantastic backgrounds, and the parents have done an awesome job with them. But as far as basketball is concerned, you know, Matt Williams is coming along. He had a thumb injury all tournament, and he came out and scored 12, 14 points every game. It was really tough for us, 6'3", junior guard. Obviously, Jackson's doing what he's doing. He's come around offensively for us. Trey has been a lot more consistent. Trey Sanderson. Dillabay's in a tough spot. You know, he's asked to do an awful lot, bringing the ball up against pressure and getting us into offense. And so I think he's done really well. But a guy who kind of flies under the radar is our junior guard, Pablo Celaya, who's been really, really consistent for us, scoring 10 points a game. You know, a lot of these guys log 28 minutes. We don't sub as often as most teams. And so they get an opportunity to play a bunch. And but Pablo's been really, really consistent for us, and he's shooting the ball a lot better. And that's what we're going to need. We're going to need everybody to step up if we want to be successful going forward.
And I know, you mentioned your sophomore, Jackson Scarborough, who's at 6'9", played varsity as a freshman. And, John, you and I have seen it 1,000 times when you got a big kid that's a freshman that's thrown into the fire. You know, I don't know if he was 14 or 15 years old, but, you know, he's thrown into the fire, yeah. Especially in the track at that height. There's a lot of expectations, and people think automatically, hey, if a big kid steps on the court, he should be able to do this by now. He should be able to do that. But that's not the case. I think it's important to remember some of these kids are young, and it's always a work in process for a lot of kids. And I see with Jackson, I mean, he's – you know, I've watched him for a few years now, and he's he's a great talent, and he's a great kid, and he works hard, and I think it's important for kids like that just to be patient and let them grow at their own pace and absorb everything that there is about the game of basketball.
Yeah, you know, and not this isn't Jackson at all, but I'm talking about, I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of things. There's kind of an epidemic where, you know, a lot of freshmen and sophomore expect so much. And if it doesn't go well for them, they might want to try and find something elsewhere to where they can get on the floor and do this and that. But, you know, earning your spot and understanding that it's about being patient. It's about working hard and buying into what you're trying to do. And it's not an easy thing to do. Everybody wants to be successful right now. And success takes hard work. Success takes time. Success takes sweat and effort. So with Jackson, definitely, and we see it, he works his tail off. Like, and he's going to get better and better and better. Defensively, he's extremely solid. He challenges everything. He's averaging about 6 blocks a game, and that's because he's had games with 10 or 11 or 12, but he averages a ton of block shots. He challenges so many and changes so many. So defensively, he's in a really good spot. And then offensively, it's about finding consistency, because he can shoot, he can play. I mean, he's had games where he goes 9 for 11 from the field, and he hits 7 mid-range jump shots, you know, and he hits 2 threes in a game. In other games, the shot's not falling for him. And so he's got to figure out how to figure a way to score and help his team if his shots aren't falling. And that's just a part of the maturation process. And, he's going to continue to grow and get better, because he's a fantastic kid who works hard. But it's eye-opening for so many people, especially when you get into track play or conference play and you want to be successful, where everybody is so darn good, it's just not easy. And so it comes back to that thing you talked about, confidence, understanding that putting in the time and the effort is going to give you that confidence to get yourself where you want to be. But it doesn't always just happen overnight, for sure.
talking with John Hines, head basketball coach at Clovis High. John, I want to get to some teams here in the Central section in just a second, but I want to ask you your opinion about AAU basketball, what that looks like now. Let, you know, a lot of people listen to the show, they hear about AAU or they're even involved in AAU. There's different levels of it. There's the team basketball. There's the national circuit. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff out there. A lot of kids come back with bad habits. I mean, we could spend a whole podcast, a whole episode, you know, on this subject. But, you know, what are some of the benefits of AAU basketball, and what are some of the downfalls of AAU basketball?
Yeah, you know, if done right, done correctly, AAU can be fantastic. And in a lot of places and a lot of times, it is done really well. It's expanded here in the central section in the area. We've got so many kids who play high-level AAU, and a lot of them come back better for it. There's no question, because when you give yourself an opportunity to play against the best players, you're going to either, you know, sink or swim, and you got to figure out what you can do to be successful at that level. And so I think a lot of it has to do with the structure and the organization. People who are really in it for the right reasons. There's a lot of quality skill development with local AAU groups. And if you have an opportunity to practice with your team, that's kind of a give and take, because so many of the higher level teams with more talented players, you don't really have an opportunity to practice or be together or do skill development. You kind of just have a weekend practice and you guys go off and play in a big tournament somewhere. And the benefits of that are obviously you're playing against quality competition, but some drawbacks are you may not be getting the skill development and the growth because you don't really have a whole lot of practice time and workout time. And then there's people playing in levels just to play, kind of like that. And a lot of times that can be detrimental, I'd say, is because you don't necessarily need games. You don't need so many games. We play so many games now with summer, spring, AAU, we play in the fall, you know, in our season, obviously. So there's got to be a time for skill development. And so I would say if you're not at that upper echelon playing with the top and elite players, you should definitely be in the gym getting more skill development. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, grabbing and pulling, having kids come here and there and play it. I wouldn't say high-level tournaments. They're just doing it to do it. And sometimes that can be detrimental because there's when you learn bad habits. You get away with things that maybe your high school coaches don't necessarily agree with. But, I mean, all in all, I love youth AAU, like third through eighth grade, yeah. If it's done right. I think that can be a really, really beneficial thing. You see the teams that are successful later on. You know, Clovis West has had a lot of teams that have been successful because groups have stayed together for 4 or 5 years playing at the youth level. Clovis North has had the same success. A lot of people have had those types of success because they're well coached from an early age and they stay together. And that's great. There's a lot of skill development. You play in the high level tournaments and there's nothing wrong with that. The tough part comes when, you know, you kind of just try and throw a group together. They don't really have an opportunity to practice. There's not a whole lot of skill development. And then they go play at a mid level tournament and you kind of just go to play. I'm not 100% sure of. But there are a lot, like I said, I think there's more high school coaches who are getting into that off-season coaching with the AAU groups, and I think that helps. I think that helps to help develop, obviously, communication skills and culture, but also coaches who are in it for the right reasons, let's say.
Oh, absolutely right. And, you know, little hoopsters all around the Central Valley have started today, started this Saturday.
Yeah, today and next week, for sure.
Today and this week. And, you know, and you're so right. Those coaches that invest in those lower grades, the third through, you know, fifth grade type stuff, when the big coach, right, comes in and coaches you up and shows you a little thing, I think that means a lot, not only to the kids, but also to the parents. It shows how invested the coach is. I just saw on social media, you know, Coach Vance Wahlberg, he's out there with the little hoopsters showing the kids how to get into a defensive stance. So all that stuff certainly matters. That's an interesting subject, John, talking about AAU and the benefits. And, you know, there's a lot of money grubbers out there, right, that try to take advantage of certain situations. And, gosh, there's a lot of ugly uniforms out there in the AAU, man. I've seen some stuff. It's like, how do you even allow that on the court, man? Come on, all these multicolored stuff. Anyway. All right, so, John, again, you guys are playing Roosevelt today at 5, and – you know, you and I had a good time checking out teams at the Clovis West tournament. Who are some other teams that you've watched I know you're getting into league here. You're starting off with Buchanan and Clovis North and Clovis East and then West and then Central. But who are some other teams that are like, yeah, this team is going to be tough to beat in the Central section?
Yeah. You know, well, tonight I've seen plenty of film on East, but I haven't seen them live. So I'm going to be able to get to see them live, and that'll be nice. That'll be cool. I think they're going to be very good. And then North as well. I think North's made a big, big jump. Obviously, everyone saw him play against Sierra Canyon, and that's just a really tough opener.
Throw that away
for anybody, right? And then just throw right into it. And not to say that they can't be competitive with them, because obviously they're very capable of doing it. It's just a tough opener, and I think they've definitely grown, and they've been more successful over the past few weeks here. So it'll be cool to see them play today as well. But I'm excited to see Bullard at full strength and Edison at full strength. I want to see Edison play. I really think Mike's doing a great job. And, you know, the other team I haven't seen at all, but is having great success, two Bakersfield teams that I respect a lot, Frontier and North Bakersfield. And I mean, I don't have an opportunity to see those guys in person too often, but I get to see some film. And I think those coaches and those programs are doing a really, really good job this year for sure.
Yeah, so Edison at Sierra at 3:30. Then you guys are playing at 5, Clovis North versus Monterey. So I don't know much about Monterey, but it's always fun to watch Clovis North and Coach Adamson and his team play, and then obviously Sanger and Clovis East. So I'm going to ask you this, John. We got a couple minutes here. Doing research, doing my rankings, why don't high school basketball coaches put in stats and max preps? I know football, they're all right there, and it makes it nice and easy. I think out of my top 10 boys and girls, I think there was only three total teams that put in stats and max preps for me to write about. But from your perspective, now I know you can't really speak for other coaches, but what's the consensus about why coaches don't put in stats?
You know what? What I would say, too, between football and basketball, obviously there's only one game a week. You know, you play one game and you got time, and not that football coaches are, I mean, there's a lot going on, but you got at least a week long to punch in that one game. And with football, there aren't nearly as many stats. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, you've got the plays stop. You know, in basketball, there's 100 possessions. And so there's plenty of stats to go in, and there's a lot of games. I mean, at this point, we've already played 18 games. And so to update those consistently is somewhat of a challenge. And I'm kind of giving the coaches the benefit of the doubt. We don't do it necessarily. We've got our own stats. We have them. But punching them in to the system is just a little bit of extra time and effort, I guess you'd say. That while I don't think it's a bad thing, I don't think anyone's doing it to, like, hide. Because if you watch any type of film and you know anything about anything, you know who the good players are. You know who's scoring the ball. You know who's challenging shots. Who's getting rebounds. So those things aren't really – it's not like we don't know who each other are. It's just, I would say, it would be a time-consuming situation because, like I said, we play a ton of games and there's a lot of stats to be input. It's not just a few stats here and there. So
got it.
That's what I would say.
All right, very fair point. We'll go with that one. I can understand that. Your first league game, John, is against Buchanan. You know the history when I with Coach Orlich, and you know when I first started to cover sports here in the Central Valley in 2013, 2014, you were an assistant for Coach Orlich at Clovis West, and now I mean who could have ever imagined this? You're going to be facing them two times this year, at least, right? On January 9th, looks like it's a home game for you guys. What has Coach Orlich meant to you over the years, and you know how fun is it to be matched up against him?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of cool. And obviously, Coach has been extremely instrumental in my career and, you know, my path that I've taken. He's been extremely helpful in so many things. You know, he's just been a big-time mentor to me and a great friend. And so, you know, last year when we played, it was. I told him after the game, I said, Dan, this is probably more, you know, this is more emotional for me. It is challenging for me than it is for you. But, It's a lot of fun. You know, I know what we're going to get as far as human beings and people. I love his family, love his, you know, coach, and he's just been so, so grateful. I'm so grateful for all the things that he's done for me. But as far as basketball is concerned, we know what we're going to get. They're going to come out and defend us 84 feet, you know, man-to-man, and they're going to play great man defense, and they've got some quality players that can run good action, and it's going to be a big-time challenge. Last year we had two really close games, and I don't anticipate anything different this year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited for that matchup. And so, John, I got one more question for you, and I can't leave you without asking you about, you know, about the card business. You got any new? I know you're a big soccer card. When we saw each other at a show a couple weeks ago, you're into soccer cards. I'm into baseball cards. Have you picked up anything new recently?
You know, not normally I do. I get some stuff just for Christmas, you know, in the new year, and I go in and get stuff. But this year I haven't. We've been locked in, and it slows down. I'll definitely pick it back up in the spring once we stop with the full swing of basketball. But nothing right now.
What's your biggest card you ever pulled or that you own right now?
I got a couple cool ones. I've sold one, but I mean, a one of one Messi auto was pretty sweet. Is a Leaf metal. But then I've also I pulled out one of one Halan, black one of one Halan auto Donruss, and so that's probably my best card for sure. And so hopefully, but you do it long enough, you get some cool stuff. I've got, you know, a PSA, and that's a PSA 10, you know, wow. And a PSA 10 of Pulisic in his USA stuff, gold, auto, pretty sweet. That just some have more, you know, value to, maybe not monetary, but they definitely mean more to you for sure.
And if you rip enough packages and spending enough money, you're bound to pull something pretty sweet, a one-on-one gold card or auto.
Yeah,
so that's pretty awesome.
I hope so, right?
Yeah, and it could be a money drain as well, as we both probably know too well. All right, John, thanks a lot. Always great catching up with you, man. And I'll probably see you in a couple hours, my friend. We're going to be heading over there probably in the late afternoon. So good luck today, and, we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
You bet. That was John Hines, head coach at Clovis. Hi, they're taking on Roosevelt, 5 o'clock at Sanger. Coming up after the break, we're talking with Paul Hernandez. More rankings. Time of the year. You're listening to everything here at 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN Fresno. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Just had a good conversation with John Hines. I love running into John. I mean, he's a basketball junkie through and through. We didn't talk about this, didn't bring this up on the show, but apparently he's a really good free throw shooter, that guy. So what's the most you've made in a row? He said, like, I don't know, 146, 147. What? That's impressive. It's impressive. So we might have a free throw showdown one of these days. But, yeah, if I need to know anything that's going on in Central Valley regarding hoops, I'll contact John Hines. I'll also contact this guy, Paul Hernandez, 661-HOOPS, runs a nothingbutnet.com website. He's a friend of the show, seen him at all the big events. If there's a big event going on in the Central Valley regarding boys basketball, he is definitely there, taking on games at Sanger all day. I'm sure we'll run into each other there, based in Bakersfield, California. How's it going, Paul?
Paul's going really well, man. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, excellent. That's going good. I'm over here, just got the Sanger here a little bit ago. Redwood's playing Washington Union right now in the second game. So it looks like a good slate of games today. How are your holidays been, man?
Yeah, they were really good, really good. I told a story in my opener about me finding an old autobiography I wrote in my freshman year. My mom had a bunch of mementos stored away in a big box, and I had a lot of fun going through them. And it said, one of my professions, if Major League Baseball player, being a Major League Baseball player didn't work out, or a professional trumpet player, I wanted to be a sports announcer or sports writer. And so, hey, at age 50, I guess I've reinvented myself. So I spoke it into existence back then. So, yeah, that was one highlight from the holidays. That was pretty cool.
I like it. Good stuff. I think I saw your post on Twitter about that, with the screen stuff. It was pretty cool.
Speaking of Twitter, I went to your Twitter account, right, to make sure I got all my information correct about you. And some little balloons popped up signifying today's your birthday. True story?
Correct. Yes. Today is the big 4-4.
The big 4-4. All right. So, and you're spending it watching basketball. You mentioned that Redwood and Washington Union are going on right now. Are you basically going to be spending your whole day there in Sanger?
Yeah. So it's a good slate of games. I was out of town the last one over the holiday tournament. So I went to Vegas for the Tart Classic this year and down to Damien Classic. So I've seen a few Central teams, but there's some, you got Edison playing in this one. Columbus East. So, you know, there's some teams playing that now have all their full rosters. So I thought this would be a great event to get to today, just to kind of cover a lot of good Central Section matchups, as well as teams that are now fully loaded with all the 30-day sit-out. So, yeah, my plan is to be here to the end game, I believe, is Sanger and Clovis East for the final game. I think you and Gabe are covering that one, correct?
Yep, we sure are. Can't wait to get there. And meanwhile, before that, we talked about Clovis North and Monterey a little bit. Something that is a very intriguing matchup that I'm very curious about is the 3:30 game, and that's going to be featuring Edison and Sierra. A couple years ago, who had ever thought that those two teams would match up? But that's an intriguing matchup. What are you looking forward to in that game?
Yeah, again, I've seen Edison a few times, but not with all their guys clear. So I know Darion King and David Rios were kind of the two big transfers. I think it could be, it's one of those where if Logan Silver is able to get shots up, I think last year at this event, I want to say he had like a 35-point game. So you know teams are going to try to, you know, cover him as much as possible, but he's had a huge monster 71-point game this year. The kid knows how to score. So I think it really, if he is able to get his shots off, and he's able to score in the high 20s. I think it could be a really good competitive game. I think, though, if Edison can put the pieces together, I know I've talked to you and Gabe both about this. You know, the CMAC is really tough. The top four teams look really good this year. And I think if they've got the pieces starting to click together, you add in the guard play with Darion King, I think it allows their roster to kind of really play their position. So now Ray Brown, Ron Mitchell, those guys can play more of the wing forward positions instead of having to be the point guards. I think it makes them a more balanced team and gives them more scoring. To me, if they're clicking on all cylinders, it could be a one-sided affair. But again, you know, Sierra showed last year, I mean, in their run to the state, the Division V state championship game, he's able to hang in with anybody in Logan when he's scoring the way he can score. He puts them in contention to win most games. So I think that could – I'm always intrigued in watching a team – it's got a guy that can put up volume scoring versus a team that's a little bit more balanced. I think those are good dynamics. It's not the same type of style. And so I'm always interested in those type of games. I think that is definitely one of the big matchups of the day that I'm interested in seeing. Again, just to see how the pieces look together for Edison, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hopefully I can get there by that time to watch that game. And Sierra's only 8-7 this year, and I know Logan Kilbert had an outside shot at the end of the year by becoming the Central Section's all-time leading scorer. I mean, he's played since his freshman year.
Yeah.
You mentioned that 71-point game, which is a Central Section record according to Bob Barnett. There was a kid from McFarland that broke the Central Section record. I think he had 65, but Logan Kilbert broke the record with that 71-point game. So, yeah, I'm very curious about that game. Out of all the teams, Paul, that you've that are on this slate for Sanger, which is the team that you have watched the most? I know we got Clovis High coming up and Roosevelt. I haven't seen Roosevelt this year. Clovis North is always fun to watch. And then Sanger and Clovis East in the nightcap. Which team have you seen the most?
The team I've seen the most would be North. I've seen Clovis North. They were at the Damien Classic. I got a chance to see them against some really high-level talent. Edison, I've seen probably three or four times, but I haven't seen him with the full roster yet, outside of some scrimmages early, which that was hard to tell. So those two are probably the ones I've seen the most. I have seen Roosevelt. Again, it was before Skylar Redwood was cleared, so again, I think that's another great piece. And I've also seen Sanger. So Sanger, Clovis North, and Edison are the three I've seen the most. And I like all that they're all in different games, and I think you look at Sanger playing against Clovis East. I kind of have both of those as kind of like the three seeds in their respective divisions or leagues. Like preseason, if I had to make a prediction, I really like Sanger. I don't know where they fall, but I think they could be anywhere from the four to potentially the one seed in the CMAC this year. Just given they got some size, they've got some diversity. They can shoot the ball. Nolan Williamson is a really, really good lights-out three-point shooter for them. They've got some size with Caleb Ramirez and Micah Cole. I just kind of like what they bring to the table. So I think that game against Clovis East is going to be a really good one because I kind of see them as both as kind of that tier below top two teams, maybe give or take, in their respective leagues. So I think that's a really good matchup, and also to see kind of where the track and the CMAC stack up this year too.
Exactly. And Gabe and I had that conversation earlier in the show. It's like you take, the track's second best team, and, you know, it could be Clovis West or Clovis North. We're not really sure. I mean, Clovis West is looking super strong this year, obviously, but and matching them up with the C-Max second best team. What does that look like? Or the C-Max fifth best team against the track's fourth best team. It's always fun to do some comparatives about that. So, Paul, I want to ask you, let's go to rankings. You do an excellent job on your website with rankings. I look forward to reading that every time they come out, every time you update it. And let's compare ours. I think ours are pretty darn similar. Let's go with your top five teams so far in boys basketball in the Central Section. Who do you got?
Yeah, so right now I've got St. Joe's back in the top spot. I had Clovis West there the first couple of times, rounds through. I just really like what I've seen from St. Joe's. They got a big win over a nationally ranked team in Lincoln Park. They lost. Their only loss this year is to a top 10 team in the country in Gonzaga Prep from D.C. What Tunde is doing this year is he's just continuing to level his game up. I thought because they weren't as deep as they were last year, they may face some problems, and they've shown so far that they've been able to withstand that form. They have an extremely interesting game today down south in the Take Flight Challenge at Redondo Union. They're playing against Roosevelt Eastvale that just won the Damien Classic. So that's a really good test to see where they stack up statewide. But I got them back at the number one spot. Number two, I have Clovis West. I just think what they've been able to do, they went down to, they did so-so in the Tartt Classic, although they were in the top division. Again, their two losses early came to the top 50 teams in the country. So, you know, not any slack losses at all. And then they went down to Arizona in the Visit Mesa Challenge and went 4-0, beating the number four and five teams in Arizona. So right now I got those two at the 1-2, and I think it's kind of clear with those at the 1-2. And then after that, I have Clovis North. I dropped them a little bit in my previous round. I like what I saw from them. They played St. John Bosco really, really close for three quarters, and that's an elite team. They got a win over Campbell Hall, whose record isn't great, but they have played an extremely tough schedule. Really good squad. That's a quality win. They got a win over Heritage Christian, who's not what they've been in the past, but still multiple Division I guys on their roster. So I got them at three. I like where they're at right now. They're kind of gelling. They're playing really good, as they typically do. Good team ball. Everyone's kind of figuring out their roles despite the size. They continue to execute. I do have Centennial and Bakersfield as my top South Valley team. It's not necessarily their strength of schedule. It's more about their size. They have junior, senior, heavy roster, and they have a guy. Gabe had mentioned this on his show the other day. They just dominated the boards against Sanger, and that's kind of what they're doing to teams. They're not scoring a ton of points. They're not putting up 80, 100, but they're just controlling the boards. They're controlling what they can, and then they're able to get multiple chances. And they have a guy in Rip and Gill. And to me, that's kind of a good recipe for success. And they're showing consistency right now, where a lot of teams have shown some up and downness. They've been consistent. And speaking of up and downs, at number five, I have San Joaquin Memorial. They've had some up and down moments this year. They had a huge win over Bakersfield Christian in the Clovis West tournament. Then they ended up going 1-3 at the Damien Classic, and probably some games they should have won. They've got a little injury bug right now. I don't know too much details, but I know Julius is not 100%. I think Silas is not 100%. And so, you know, I think for them, they're young. They've kind of got some up and down. So I have them at five right now. But right behind them is kind of your Bakersfield Christian, Bullard, Clovis East, Edison, and Sanger. Those kind of five are right after that, and like kind of some bunch number. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the time I update these again that Bullard or May, you know, they've got a really good chance to kind of jump up in that top four or five with their schedule this year in the CMAC. Same thing with Edison, same thing with Sanger. So that's my 1-5.
That's pretty good. I think I got exactly the same thing talking with Paul Hernandez of 661 Hoops. And then after that, you're right. I got a hodgepodge of teams, Bakersfield Christian, Bullard, Clovis East, Edison, Aurora Grande we could throw in there as well. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun, especially when league starts and everyone's at full strength and, you know, we get eyeballs on some of these teams. I want to ask you about Connor Amundson. He put up a career high, I think it was a school record as well, 42 points in a game at the Damien Classic. What's the buzz around Connor? We know he got on a lot of people's radars his sophomore season when they made that great run through the state tournament. to the state championship game. But, you know, what's the buzz around Connor and his scoring ability? I know he and his family went back to Dartmouth. I know that's a huge option, which is great. Oh, my gosh. Who wouldn't want to, you know, play over there and, you know, for that school and that education? But, yeah, what's the word on the street about Connor?
I think it's kind of been what it's been the last, I would say, since he's come back from the shoulder surgery around the summertime. He had a really good summer in June at some of the Scholastic Live events, the one they did in California, and then the Section 7 event down in Arizona. Generated some Division I interest a little bit more with reaching out with some offers, low D ones. And then, obviously, he had the injury to his wrist at the Clovis West Fall Showcase. And I think that cooled some Division I programs down a little bit. He's continued to look great since he's come back. Phenomenal performance against Windward with a 42-point showing. Yeah. I mean, he single-handedly pretty much carried the team to a win. And Windward's a good squad. They're good. They're lanky. They have a really dynamic point guard on the other end, so not an easy 42 points to score. I showed up for the last 5 or 6 minutes, and I think he had 15 or 16 points in that final stretch, you know, so he was just getting buckets. I think that the concern from some programs is size, obviously. Defensively, I don't think it's so much of an offensive thing. I think it's more of a defensive thing. But the Dartmouth offer, I think, is extremely intriguing. You're talking about not just a basketball scenario that would be good for him, but, I mean, you're talking about a school that sets you up for life. You know what I mean? The networking that you can get together. So I think that offer, I would be, unless something else, like maybe a UC San Diego is a concrete offer or something like that, I think that Dartmouth offer would be one that would be really, really hard to turn away. But again, I think the consensus amongst the scouts and amongst college coaches has been kind of what it is for a lot of kids is they don't want to reach. You know, there's not an incentive for coaches to reach in this new era where you have not just a transfer portal, but now with the new rules passing through, where there's no restrictions. You transfer, you can play right away. And it really kind of, if you're not a top 100-150 kid, it really puts some pump the brakes unfortunate mentality with coaches and programs at the next level. And so I can see that Connor may be a kid where they're going to say, for instance, J.J. Howard's a good example, right? I had numerous conversations last year with coaches in the Big West and the WCC, and it was kind of like, why not? The kid does so much. The concern was, well, what did he do great? And I think the concern with Connor is, I think people know what he does great. It's just the concern is, I think, size. And at the end of the day, that hasn't shown to be something that's hurt him when he's played against the top teams in the Western region. So, again, I think it's more just programs aren't willing to take the risk right now as much as they would have been pre-COVID. And so that's kind of where Connor finds himself. But I do think with that recent Dartmouth offer, if nothing else pops down the pike for him, I think that would be a great landing spot. It puts them, again, in a Division I program. You're playing in the Ivy League, the connections you make for life. But then also with the transfer portal, if he does extremely well, and then there's maybe a mid-major or a higher major school that's looking at him, there's those options, you know. So that's kind of where it is right now. I don't think it's trended up too much more from, like, the mid to high major schools. But again, when you look at the academics that you can get from a school like a Dartmouth, it's almost kind of, I don't want to say a no-brainer, but it makes it really hard to say no unless something else better comes along in the rounds that fits Connor better as far as basketball goes. But academically speaking, I don't know if there's going to be a better offer. That's an elite school academically. So
yeah.
I was really pleased that he got that, and I know they went out and visited and stuff like that. So, again, if nothing else pops, I think that's a good one. But I do know that UC San Diego and some other schools like that are interested. I think a lot of it comes down to they've got full rosters right now, and are kids willing to grayshirt a year? Are kids willing to redshirt a year? You know, I think that's the scenario for a kid like Connor. If he goes to a mid-major plus school, is you're talking about possibly having a grayshirt or redshirt a year just so you have that, because they're so backfilled right now with kids that are still, I mean, we still got the COVID year kids plan, and then now with the transfer portal not having any restrictions on sitting out, there's that variable to add to it. So it's just not an easy scenario to deal with. So to have the offers in his hand, that's better than where a lot of kids are at right now.
You're right. A lot of good options. Talking with Paul Hernandez, we've got about 3 minutes here, Paul. We got to talk a little bit about Clovis West basketball. We throughout the show. I haven't talked too much about them. You know, I had them at number one before the season started. I think you did as well. St. Joe's has jumped them. But, man, what a team. And Coach Wahlberg and his staff, they love this year's team with Jackson Young, DJ Stickman. Yeah. They just rave about this kid, only a junior. And then the big transfer they got from Bishop Gorman, Chris Broussard, and Jack Shahan is playing excellent basketball. I think, honestly, my opinion, again, we got a couple minutes here. If Clovis West is firing on all cylinders and play the best of their ability, there's no reason why they can't win another Central Section title.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think they've you could say, remedied the issue from last year, which is lack of size. I think Chris Vergreau is perfect for what they do. He's really good at getting up and down the court, which the difference between him and Tyus was, with Tyus, it was more of like a half-court setting type thing, where with Chris, they don't have to necessarily get him out to run the floor with him. He's a much better block-to-block style runner than Tyus was, you know, for example. And so I like that. DJ's having a phenomenal year. Arguably, in my opinion, I think he's the second-best pure athlete playing basketball in the afternoon day we have in the section. The kid does stuff that you can't really measure on a basketball court, or that you can't teach. And then, like you said, the veteran play of Zach Cashon, Marshall Sanders, Jackson Young. I mean, they have the veteran leadership. They got guys that have won it 2 years ago, guys that were just there last year. And if I'm being honest, Paul, I would be shocked if we're not looking at a part three of St. Joe's versus Clovis West in the section championship game. And that's to take nothing away from the other teams. I just like what they've added at Clovis West. And the pieces fit really well. As you mentioned, I've talked to the coaching staff as well. They're really high on this team overall, and they've had some really great teams there the last 10 years. So for them to be as high as they are on this team and what this team can bring, you've got shooting. You've got guys like Jace Kellogg that have, you know, started to kind of build a bigger role. I agree, and I think they have this year what they didn't have last year, which is size. And to counter that with St. Joe's, They've done fairly well with Tunde the last 2 years in the section championship game. I don't think he's scored over 20 points in either of those two games. And so the X factors last year, you look at, was really Caden Hamilton was the X factor. Luis Marin. So to me, I think if they're clicking on all cylinders, as great as the two-man duo for St. Joe's is, if they can't get much more scoring outside of those two, or one of those guys gets in foul trouble, it gets really slim for them this year. Now, next year, it's a whole different story for St. Joe's. I think they're contending for state again next year. But this year, I do. I like Clovis West where they're at. I think if they're, like you said, clicking on all cylinders, it's a very complete team, and they can throw different looks at you. And I think Clovis North will give them a run for their money. I just think the size factor will ultimately weigh out at the end, as long as there's no injuries and no foul trouble. I think that's the advantage Clovis West has this year. Yeah. And I think they like I said, I look at them and St. Joe's on a collision course for a part three section championship for a third year in a row.
It could happen. We got a lot of basketball league is going to start. Paul, we're going to be seeing you in a couple hours. I can't wait, my friend. Good stuff as always, and happy birthday.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it, man.
You bet. I appreciate you greatly. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN. All right. Thank you guys for listening. It's a great show, basketball heavy. I did mention a little bit about college football. You see Jalen McMillan and the guys, Kalen DeBoer and his staff playing for the national title. It'll be a lot of fun on Monday. We're going to be broadcasting tonight Clovis East and Sanger, the Central Valley Showdown at Sanger. Thank you to a lot of people. Thank you to First String Sports. They are my day one sponsors. They are awesome here on Blackstone Avenue, just south of Herndon, just north of Sierra. Thank you to them. Thank you to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Is it raining yet? I don't know. 70% chance we got nothing? No. Jorge here is shaking his head. No rain yet. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo, of course. Thanks to McKay Olson, Jeremy Piero of Clovis East Boys Basketball. They are going to be playing tonight. Looking forward to watching that game. John Hines and Paul Hernandez. Next week, I got Clovis West Boys Coach Vance Wahlberg coming on the show. Have not had Vance on yet. Really looking forward to that. Thank you guys for listening. A lot of fun, and we'll talk to you guys next week.